what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Oye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy, Tim, Mo, William, Geddes.
Plus, I'm feeling just so good. Sunday and Saturday, we had WrestleMania, yep. And it just delivered. Yep. Then, last night, or two nights ago, whenever it was, we got X-Men,
yep.
97, Episode 5, and it changed things for me. If y'all aren't keeping up or not watching X-Men 97 yet, you need to. And even if you're like, I don't know if it's for me or whatever, watch Episode 5. It's phenomenal.
It's so good.
But also be cool in the chat. Don't
be
spoil
cool.
Shit.
No spoilers, everybody.
I'm waiting for Alyssa to get back from her trip so we can watch it, because she's the bigger X-Men head than I am.
It comes back to what I've been talking about with the Fallout TV show, and I feel like I'm already a broken record, even though I've only been talking about it for 3 days. Of like, I love the weekly releases. And I Fallout, I wish those were weekly releases. I love that there's the weekly releases for X-Men 97. Granted, like, I think X-Men 97 as a whole has had its ups and downs. Like, last week's episode, I wasn't as into.
Really?
I like the idea. Yeah, I thought the idea was there. Like, obviously, I like the idea, right? But I'm like, the execution wasn't fully there for me. The execution. Last night's episode, execution and idea. All there. And yeah, I like that we have a week where we get to sit with it and talk about it.
I love
and
it.
Discuss it.
I love it. It reminds me of the good times, bless. Good times like Invincible. Season 2 being over, and we did a screencast about it. You can check that out. Will we do a screencast, another one for X-Men 97? I hope. God, I wish we could talk about this
episode. That's one of those ones. It's one of those ones where I wish we could talk about it, like, week to week, right? Like, on a show or something. But yeah.
There's a lot, man.
If we get there, let me know, because I want to hop on and talk about it. Speaking of shows, though, that I want to talk to you about, are you going to watch Fallout?
I am now sold that me and you are going to watch one episode of Fallout. I'm going to give it the shot, see if it grabs us. I'm feeling really optimistic about it, though. Like, the way everyone's talking about it, I'm like, sounds like it got the stuff. And hey, I just love it. I love to see video game adaptations continue to succeed and kick ass and deliver to the fans and to people that just want to watch good TV shows or movies.
Yeah, I'm going to give, I don't want to overhype you for it, but I just want to give a sprinkle of...
Sprinkle on me.
In that show, right, like, it's post-apocalypse, it's a lot of wacky stuff. It's stuff that I think you'd enjoy, but by the time I finished it, it had a hint of Severance to it that I think you'd fuck with.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like, I don't know, that's all I'm gonna say. Great, like, there's like just some stuff there where I'm like, I'm getting like that Severance feeling.
It's exciting.
Right? Like, so wait, the things I loved about it.
Is Fallout out now?
All of it's out now.
It came out last night?
Yeah, the entire thing, all eight episodes is out now.
Cool.
People talking about it. I saw chat talking about it before we even went live. And yeah, like, it seems like people are digging this thing. And I told you, I've been telling y'all for, when did they announce this thing? A year, 2 years? I was like, yo, this is good. There's no way this could fail. I don't know if I said that.
I'll give you credit.
But I was definitely on the side of it. I was definitely like, no, I think this is going to be good. Yeah. I'm glad it was good. I'm glad it was good.
Hell yeah, I'm glad for you.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Fallout and a whole lot more, because today's stories include Fallout 4 is getting a current-gen update, Todd Howard says no to Elder Scrolls adaptations, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, our Invincible screencast review and Joker 2 trailer reactions are up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. The Joker 2 trailer reaction is one that you definitely don't want to miss.
Oh, yeah.
That's must-see content.
Must-see content. There's a major surprise that I guarantee
at the very
you
least,
won't see coming.
Watch the first 5 minutes at the very least. It's required watching.
I don't know if there's ever been a 5 minutes in Kinda Funny history that is more Kinda Funny than the first 5 minutes. Because last night I ended up watching the first 5 minutes of our Joker 2 trailer reaction with Gia just to show her what happened. And she's like, wait, is this how it really happened? I'm like, yeah, every part of this is how it happened.
Yep.
Including the very, very intro. You'd love to see it, everyone.
Go check it out. A new XCast is up, breaking down the big update coming to Destiny. That's on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then tomorrow, Nick's Pokemon Nuzlocke stream is finally happening. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on Twitch. I'm excited for this one.
You missed a part.
I deleted the whole thing.
Well,
and
I added it.
Pika.
Thank you.
Pika. I keep deleting the Pika. I deleted it yesterday too. Or no, 2 days ago, whenever I hosted last. I was like, I'm not saying this Pika shit.
I know that I hype things up a lot when they're good. And I'm telling you, what everyone is working on for this Pokemon stream tomorrow, it's worth hyping.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it is about to be an event. Y'all are not
ready for.
Every now and
then, Andy Cortez reminds me who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, where, he's like, so talented.
He calls me to his desk and shows me a thing, and I'm like, What the fuck? What
the actual
what the fuck? Like, yeah, we have a crazy roster in this office. Y'all Andy Cortez is talented.
He's a fucking wizard. It's so cool to see what he's working on. And then, like, on, like, a very different track, it was interesting to come into the office this morning to see them maybe working on some stuff on the Covenant
roster
side.
Front.
Yeah.
We'll go check that out.
All that juice is saying Kevin is alcoholic Professor Oak. No, his name, please respect him. He's Professor Hardwood. Okay.
Oh. All right. Professor Hardwood. I love that. Mm-hmm. Falls in line. I was talking to you about like how I'm in a Pokemon mood or I've been in a Pokemon mood lately. Mm-hmm. And like yesterday, Mike hollered at me from like over his desk. He's like, hey, Bless, the streets are saying that you should check out Coromon or something like that. It's like an indie game that is like basically a Pokemon style game.
Yeah.
And I was like, I played a little bit of Coromon. Like, I don't know if that's gonna be my jam. But I've been thinking about it more and more, and I'm like, there's generations of Pokemon that I missed.
Yeah.
Because I played all the way up until Gen 3. I played the GBA Pokemons, and then like I never got a DS or a 3DS, and so I skipped like those handhelds. Well, Pokemon.
I mean, here's
and
the
I
thing.
Hop back in with Pokemon Sword or Pokemon. Let's Go Pikachu. I guess.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Honestly, I think you only have two options if you were like really going to commit to this. One of them is, are you a big boy that wants to experience something new? Or is the other that you're just in the mood for some Pokemon and you want what you know you're going to fucking love?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want what you know you're going to love, the only answer is SoulSilver and HeartGold on the DS.
Mm-hmm.
It is the remake.
I didn't even think about that.
It's the remake of Gold and Silver. And it, because it's Gold and Silver, it gets you the Kanto region as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's
back.
It's just perfect. Yeah. And it's beautiful. Maybe my favorite sprite work in all of Pokemon. Like, there's a lot in that game that I think you'd love. The answer, if you want to be like, you know what? I want a new adventure. I want to try something new. And I want to not recognize any of these little fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is Black and White.
Mm.
Black and White, and then Black and White 2. You don't need to get there. But that definitely, I would say, is one of the best experiences. And from the gens that you missed out on, and for what I think you're looking for, I feel like that would be the answer.
See, I really like those as suggestions, the way you put them, because I was considering, one, Pokemon X and Y, leading into Pokemon Legends Zaw.
Nah.
That's coming out next year, right? Like, as a primer for that. And then also, I was thinking Pokemon Legends Arceus. Just based off of, like, you know, I really like Scarlet and Violet, despite all the issues. It's the easiest to play, because it's on Switch already. But again, listen, I have a Steam Deck, and I'm not going to play these games on my Steam Deck, but allegedly I could.
Yeah.
Also, like,
allegedly, maybe I could.
I have a 2DS XL, and maybe I can give you a Pokemon.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Very good Pokemon game.
It is.
So basically what I'm saying is that every Pokemon is on the table. Just listed all four of these things.
Well, Sun and Moon there's a lot of these motherfuckers, dude.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Sun and Moon.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
But no, I'd say Black and White or Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Heart Gold and Soul Silver is a really good suggestion.
Then just do it.
Because I think I do want something new though. I think to what you're talking about, Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I know is a slam dunk for me because Gens 1 and 2 were my childhood.
Yep.
Like, I know every single one of those Pokemon. It's like, you know, that's just return to form for me. But yeah, I do like the idea of, I'm down to find some new Pokemon. I'm down to, like, explore a new region.
Black and White was the first time that they were like, here's 150, and they're all new.
Mm.
Where it wasn't just like, oh, we're added. It's like, they wanted you to have a new experience. And it takes place in America. So it's a little different.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a different vibe.
Let me sit and think with it.
Yeah, man.
I'll consider it more. But also, thank you to our Patreon producers for considering us. Carl Jacobs, Karen Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Factor, Dragon's Dogma 2, and Robin Hood. But we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, Fallout 4's long-awaited next-gen update finally has a release date. This is from Wesley Yenpool at IGN. Hot on the heels of the release of the well-received Fallout TV show, Bethesda has finally announced a release date for the long-awaited Fallout 4 next-gen update. The free upgrade for the post-apocalyptic open-world role-playing game launches April 25th on Xbox Series X and S and PlayStation 5, and includes native applications for the consoles, performance mode, and quality mode settings, as well as stability improvements and fixes. This means the game will be playable to up to 60 frames per second, and with an increased resolution. Elsewhere, Fallout 4 Fallout 4 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One also gets a free update with stability improvements, login, and quest fixes. Bethesda said in a blog post. And finally, a free Fallout 4 update for PC adds widescreen and ultra widescreen support, as well as fixes to Creation Kit and a variety of quest updates. Players with PC versions of Fallout 4 on Steam, Microsoft Store, and GOG will receive stability mods and bug fixes, Bethesda said. Fallout 4 will also be sold on the Epic Games Store and will be Steam Deck verified.
Let's go.
Kind of fantastic news all around. Like, we've been talking about this a lot. Like, I love how much Xbox invests in making its old games new again. This is a great example. And on one hand, it's like, wow, how did it take this long? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, hey, they kind of did every single thing you could want from this, right? Including the Steam Deck verified. Like, I love that Xbox has talked about the Play Anywhere stuff for a very long time, and it's really kind of living the words, right? Like, they are making sure that their games are playable in the best way possible in as many places as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm glad that this is happening. Right? Like you said, it's a conversation that we've been having a lot on the Fallout TV show review Gamescast. The second half of our conversation was dedicated to what the fuck, like, why it, like, it sucks that there's not a modern Fallout thing to play. That said, right, like, I think this is great. I still would have loved a Fallout 3 remake or Fallout New Vegas remake or something that felt even more modern. Like, Fallout 4 came out 9 years ago, which sounds wild.
Don't say that.
Yeah. What? No, it sounds wild when I say it. It came out in 2015. Like, November 2015. Yeah. Same day as Rise of the Tomb Raider. came out. That game is old. Wow. And, like, this might be more of a debatable thing, right? But I think even when you played that game at the time, parts of it still felt old even then. So I look at Fallout 4 as one... I would even go as far as to say Fallout 4, not even like a fan favorite, right? Like, it's one of those ones where I think it makes sense as a, all right, we have a Fallout TV show. What do we want to do to give people something to buy or something to play or something to immediately go to after they finish watching the show? I guess like maybe a week or so after, a couple weeks after they finish the show. Fallout 4, I think, makes the most sense for the least work. Hey, let's remaster it. Let's fix some bugs. Let's give it an update.
It's also the most recent one.
If you're not counting for 76.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, yeah, like, I think it makes sense for all those things, but I still wish it was like a either like Fallout 5, I understand a million reasons why it's not that. But man, like, I wish either 76 was just a way better jumping in point for people, or I wish that, yeah, we could have gotten a New Vegas or a Fallout 3 remake here. But I still think this is a really good move. I think this is an awesome thing.
This might not be a question you can answer, but if somebody knows the answer out there, have they already done this for Fallout 3 and for New Vegas and for those older ones, or is this the first one of the Fallout games to get this type of love?
Like a remaster?
Not a remaster, but next gen update stuff.
Fallout New Vegas has like Xbox boosted stuff.
Yeah.
And so like all the stuff we talk about in terms of like when you play when people would play Dishonored and it's FPS boosted. I don't know the exact bullet points of Fallout New Vegas. I don't know if it's FPS boosted or like what the exact things are, but it definitely has certain things where if you're playing it on Xbox Series X, it feels better than if you're playing it on Xbox 360 back in the day. And for me, I think that still is going to be my go-to. I've been talking to Andy about, and I think Mike about, like, all right, we want more Fallout after watching the show. What do we want to do? And for me, I am going to play, or I would like to play New Vegas. I can't predict the future right now in terms of video games because, listen, review season is back, baby.
Man.
But if I'm going to hop into a Fallout game right now, I think it's going to be New Vegas. Greg's been talking about maybe doing a Fallout 76 stream for like a week. And I'm like, I tried Fallout 76 a few years ago. Like, we tried to jump back into it and it just didn't hit for whatever reason. But yeah, like, I think for the people that either haven't played Fallout 4, I think if you haven't played Fallout 4, it's a great option for you, especially now with these remastered and like update stuff that they're doing. But then also, if you're somebody that is, all right, I would like to return to a Fallout thing, and I really have to choose, I think Fallout 4 is not a bad option, right? Fallout 4 is a great video game. Fallout 4 is the most modern version of a traditional Fallout game. I think it makes sense, but I think it's still a thing of, I think you're split if you're a Fallout fan of what you're going to do. I think 3 and New Vegas are still going to be some of the prime options for you.
This conversation is fascinating because a year ago we talked about Last of Us and how the show came out, and then we saw the incredibly boosted numbers for The Last of Us. The Witcher, same thing, mm-hmm. Where The Witcher 3 was like selling, like sales spiked on all the different charts. I wonder what this is going to do for Fallout. I feel like Fallout is a little bit different, where Witcher had Witcher 3. right? I don't think people were necessarily going in droves to Witcher 1 and 2.
No.
Last of Us was, it's just The Last of Us and then Last of Us 2. But with Fallout, there being so many different games and like the spinoffs, and some of the spinoffs, correct me if I'm wrong, are the most beloved of the franchise. Like New Vegas seems to be
the one. The fan favorite.
I wonder what it's going to do, and I wonder what, specifically because of things like Game Pass being, I feel like, such a great way for people to try out these games and to get them, buy them, play them, whatever words you want to use. I wonder how Xbox is going to spin the headline of Fallout.
Oh, it's for
players
sure
are up.
Yeah,
or, you
if,
know what
I
mean?
Think it, I see. I that's a good question, because I think most people are going to probably hop into 4, it being the most recent. Like, even though I say it came out 9 years ago, that's the same year as Witcher 3.
Yeah,
and Witcher 3 did get those boosts, did get all that stuff. So if you're putting out a modern or a current gen update, a current gen version that people can come in and buy and like be like, okay, cool, this is the way that I should play Fallout right now. I think Fallout 4 will be the one that sees most of the like jump in terms of numbers and playership and stuff. I do think that New Vegas specifically is going to see that too. This is a kind of funny.com/you're wrong. Fallout 3, is that one that you can play through Xbox currently? Like, if I have an Xbox Series X, can I play Fallout 3 on that? Or like, is there boost options?
Yeah. Oh, with the boost stuff? I mean, yeah, it must be, right? Because like,
someone in chat earlier saying both 3 and New Vegas. 3 and New Vegas. 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Great.
I think if I had to put it in order in terms of which ones are going to see like that usership, I'm going to say 4, New Vegas 3 in that order. And I'm just curious on what the differential is in that number. Like, is it like, oh yeah, 5% more people are playing New Vegas, whereas 400% more people are playing Fallout 4?
I'm smelling a pizza bet. Is this a pizza bet?
No, I just am.
I really don't know. Like,
so check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Last of Us didn't have a release at the time of the show coming out. Last of Us Remastered came out later.
No, it didn't. Last of Us Remastered? Last of Us Remastered came out the fall
before. Okay.
Last of Us 2 Remastered came out this last January.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think they did say a lot of people came through for Last of Us Remastered.
Yeah, okay. So forget what I was saying there, but still following the logic I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that a Fallout New Vegas remaster, remake, something or other gets announced at Summer Game Fest? And I say, is there a chance, like, is there a team that could be working on that, or is everybody booked up?
I mean, in terms of a remaster, if it's just a remaster, I think maybe there could be a small team at Bethesda working on it. I think the thing is with it, there has been no rumblings really. And there's maybe another you're wrong thing. I was looking this up as we were having the conversations these last couple of days, and I couldn't find any sort of report or like anybody saying that anybody's working on a Fallout 3 or New Vegas, which makes me think that it's not happening. I feel like that's something that would have came out.
So, because it's Obsidian.
I think it'd be smart.
It's Obsidian, right?
That made New Vegas.
They made New Vegas?
Yeah. But I think it would be on Bethesda.
Yeah.
And like the way that Bethesda operates in talks, I feel, not talks, the way that Bethesda moves, I don't know if they fuck with New Vegas that much. I think they look at New Vegas as like, but that wasn't us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're Fallout 3, we're Fallout 4. Like, those are the ones that we prop up. I remember watching the NoClip documentary on Bethesda where they're talking about Fallout and stuff. And it felt like, we're not going to talk much about New Vegas. Like, New Vegas is a cool thing. Yeah. But like, let's talk about Fallout 3 and 4, though.
No spoilers, clearly, obviously. I'm asking this just as somebody that does not know Fallout at all.
Yeah.
Are the games' worlds connected?
Yeah, it's all the same universe.
Okay, and then in the show, is the show's like...
The show takes place in the game universe.
But is this the location in the show one of the game's locations?
No.
So it's a new location, but in the same world?
Yes.
Very cool.
It technically is, because I believe Fallout 1 and 2 were in California.
Oh,
the original Fallout was in California.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the closest, like in the modern Bethesda era, the closest we would get
the closest
to like
would be
New
Vegas,
which
again, which I think maybe could lead people to go, oh yeah, like what, Southwest? Maybe I want to stay in this region. I don't know if people are going to think that deeply about it, but I think New Vegas has like the closest connection.
I mean, Vegas is just cool. The idea
Vegas
of an apocalyptic
dope.
Vegas is like exciting,
and New Vegas takes advantage of that from the things I've seen, and so I think New Vegas is going to get a bit of a resurgence. I think Fallout 4 is going to get the biggest resurgence because yep. that's the one that they're propping up in this way. I think it'd be dope to remaster New Vegas, but even people in chat are like, yeah, it doesn't feel like Bethesda really acknowledges New Vegas that much. So I don't know if they would give it that treatment. I think Fallout 3 would be the one if you're going to go and remake something or remaster something, you do that. I think at that point, though, don't even remaster it. Remake Fallout 3.
Yeah.
I've talked about this for a while that the fact that the next mainline Fallout game, we're going to get what? In over a decade, where like the next Bethesda game coming off of Starfield was just dropped is Elder Scrolls. I don't expect that to get that until maybe 5 years from now. And then we're talking about Fallout after that. And these are games that take long development cycles. I think we're a very long ways from a Fallout. And
we're going to be in our 40s, bless.
I'll likely be 40 by the time I play Fallout 5, which breaks my heart because I fucking love Fallout.
You think even with the success of the show and all of that, like...
Who's going to make it? I don't think Bethesda... there was a news report we talked about weeks ago where it's like, I think Bethesda are the arbiters of Fallout. I think it would have to take Phil Spencer busting in the door and being like, Todd, we're giving this to somebody else. You guys don't get to hoard Fallout. And I don't think they want to do that. I think they look up to Bethesda and Todd Howard and that team with too much respect. And they don't want to like piss people off. And I think if that wasn't the case, then yeah, I think, but Obsidian for sure would be the ones making it. But to my point about how long away we are from a new Fallout entry, I think the easiest way to give the people something to hold them over until the next one is a Fallout 3 full remake. We're making Fallout 3, but it looks as good as a Starfield. And I say that loosely because I know a lot of people are like, oh, Starfield doesn't look good. But like, you get what I mean. It's going to look like a modern Bethesda video game. I think that's what you do. That's going to take a lot of work. But I think maybe remaking Fallout 3 would be an easier task than a ground up Fallout 5. We're going to put in an entire big team on, or our full Bethesda Game Studios team on this.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future of Bethesda. And speaking of which, Tim. Story number two, Todd Howard keeps saying no to Elder Scrolls movie and TV adaptations. This is from Alex Stedman at IGN. As video game adaptations continue to ramp up in recent years, Bethesda Game Studios is finally getting its first with Fallout, Prime Video's high-profile TV series that debuted last night. And unsurprisingly, it's not something that Bethesda boss Todd Howard took lightly. Quote, "This is something that I said no to for like a decade," Howard says. "Everyone wanted to make a Fallout TV show or a movie, and I was like, nah, I wasn't really feeling it," end quote.
Again, up, and
this goes back to what I just said with Todd Howard. Todd, I think, is like, if you tell him, hey, let somebody else work on Fallout, he's like, nah, man, fuck that. We're the Fallout guys. We're going to make Fallout ourselves. IGN got the chance to catch up with Howard on the red carpet of Fallout's premiere in Los Angeles. Now I got Vegas on the mind. In Los Angeles earlier this week. We only had a few minutes with Howard, who also served as an executive producer on the TV show. But that was still enough to pick his brain a bit about what convinced him to finally adapt Fallout and the chance of other Bethesda properties getting similar treatment. For Fallout, it was all about finding the right creative partners. Quote, "I met Jonathan Nolan, and I love his work. The Dark Knight, Interstellar, Person of Interest, and then Westworld. And he and I kind of hit it off," Howard told IGN's Benjamin Watts on the carpet. Quote, "And I felt like, hey, do you want to do this? I'd like to approach it like it's another entry in the games. Like, let's do a new location, new story, and let him and his crazy lunatic people he works with kind of do what they do. And we're really happy with how it turned out," end quote. So, with those encouraging signs, does Howard think other Bethesda properties will be getting the adaptation treatment? Quote, "I don't know. There's nothing in the works," he says. "Everybody asks, like, about Elder Scrolls, and I keep saying no also. And I would approach those, I'll probably say no. You never, I don't know why I added the end in there.
I love this.
It's because I watched the clip, so yeah, I know the exact way he said it. you never know if someone's going to click, but I think this really came out of, we think things are aligning to do a high-quality job. It wasn't forced. It was kind of a natural relationship. Hey, this sounds really cool, as opposed to, we should have a show, right? It never came from that," end quote. Quote, "I can't predict the future," Howard says, "but this has been one of the most enjoyable projects I've ever done, and we're just kind of over the moon. Everybody in the studio was seeing it that way. I guess was seeing it that way," end quote.
You can't really ask for more than what was just said there, right? Mm-hmm. When the results are as good as they are. Like, this is all lip service until they could back it up. And they backed it up. Like, y'all seem to really be into the Fallout show. And him saying, like, we didn't think, oh, we need a show, so let's make it. It's like, the things aligned to make the show right. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like Last of Us is a similar situation, too, where there's talks of movies, talks about a whole bunch of things. And it wasn't until they're like, hey, like, we have Craig Mazin. We could do this, yep, right. And then they did. And I just think that that's very, very cool,
dude,
to see.
If you have Jonathan Nolan at your disposal, you make that show, yeah, right? Like, if Todd Howard, I imagine, like, building that relationship with Jonathan Nolan, who he calls Jonah, which I didn't know he was like Jonah. I need to meet more Jonas. I don't need enough Jonas in real life.
Hmm.
You know?
I don't think I've ever met a Jonah.
I've met one Jonah who, like, was a childhood friend.
Wow.
And I'm shocked there's not
Did
more.
Did he get along with Addison?
No, I don't. They didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. They definitely didn't know each other. Different crews, you know, different,
yeah,
schools.
Of course. Yeah.
Jonah, I believe. Actually, I won't dox the school. Anyway. But no, like, yeah, I think you have Jonathan Nolan and you go, fuck yeah, we're going to make a Fallout TV show with Jonathan Nolan. He just made Westworld. Like, yeah we're going to do that. And yeah, for Last of Us, for Neil Druckmann, I think you find Craig Mazin as a partner and go, fuck yeah, we're going to do that. An Elder Scrolls TV show, I think, is a fascinating idea. Tim, for you, coming off the success of Fallout and knowing the popularity of Elder Scrolls, do you think it's a missed opportunity not to be doing an Elder Scrolls adaptation?
No, like, that's the thing, is like, missed opportunities. It would only be a missed opportunity if I knew more information about what the opportunity was of the this person plus this person, or this group and this group and this IP, and we're going to do this in this way. All those things need to add up, right? And I feel like there's the missed opportunity. But we were talking yesterday even about Sifu, and it's like, we got the John Wick team working on Sifu.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that makes sense. Like, you can put that together, you see exactly what it could be, and you know that they're going to put the right attention into every element that needs it the correct way. I look at something like Elder Scrolls, and on one hand, I'm like, that'd be really easy to get right.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's like, there's a million ways to get that wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like the fantasy stuff is very, very, very overdone. And I feel like to stand out in that world on streaming TV services in particular, like, you need to do something pretty special.
Coming off of Game of Thrones ending years and years ago at this point, I know there's like the new Game of Thrones stuff, and then there's also the Lord of the Rings show that's happening on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rings of Power.
Is there any other, like, say if we're talking about TV specifically,
well,
are there
Witcher,
is there anything,
right?
Oh yeah, there is Witcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, there's just like, I feel like a lot of things like that. And then there's ones that just kind of missed the mark, like what was it, the Watch of Time?
Oh, I know called. What you're talking about. But did that miss the
Wheel
mark?
Of Time.
Am I thinking of the right thing? The Wheel of Time. Maybe I'm not. I'm thinking of something
Wheel
else.
Wheel of Time was the thing that was supposed to be the next big thing, and then it just kind of wasn't.
Okay.
But anyways, I feel like Elder Scrolls can 1,000% work. It makes sense. Like, it's a world that people clearly love and mm-hmm. want to see in different mediums.
Dude, Elder Scrolls TV show or movie would pop the fuck off.
Yeah,
but
you
it would
the right people.
To
on
your point, it.
It
has to be good though, right? Like, I think back to the World of Warcraft movie that I would say the same thing with in terms of like popularity, mm-hmm. and like, I feel like that came and went. Like, it was good, it seems like, but it's not like the next.
I would push back against the Elder Scrolls being like a guaranteed pop off thing, because outside of like the Bethesda magic of how you're able to interact with that world, what is it about Elder Scrolls as a fantasy setting that stands out amongst other fantasy property, right? Whereas Fallout, even though it's an apocalyptic setting amongst a bunch of other apocalyptic IP, it does have like its own specific vibe that does still stand out.
I feel that. Yeah, I guess for me, I'm thinking of more so just the IP power of it. Like, I'm somebody who, admittedly, fantasy is not my bag compared to like loving post-apocalypse, but I look at how the way that people talk about Lord of the Rings in terms of like movies and novels, I guess, or whatever, right? Or like how people talk about Game of Thrones as a television show. Elder Scrolls is that for video games, right? Like, if you're talking about the fantasy video games that dominate the space, is Elder Scrolls and probably Dragon Age being the other one. And I think that would like the popularity of Elder Scrolls, I think, would translate easily in terms of, oh yeah, like all the Elder Scrolls people I know that play the game are gonna watch this fucking show, and that's a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
I think
totally.
You have that power on your side already. The next big step is just, can you create a compelling story?
Yeah, and Barrett, to answer your question, or at least attempt to, and I agree with you, the point that you're making.
I'm not saying that like the right creatives couldn't make something like really fucking cool. But
yeah,
I think the leg up that Elder Scrolls does have is obviously the fan base and all that. But I think that what separates it potentially from other fantasy things is it does have enough like iconography that is like, even if you don't play the games like me, I know that it has a theme song. I know its theme song. Like, mm-hmm. I can hear it in my head. I know the Fus Ro Dah. I know the mask, like, helmet thing that the dude has. Like, I feel like the fact that it even has those things, those touch points that me as a non-fan knows, I think that that already gives it a leg up over other things that are just like, we got dwarves and dragons. I don't even know if they have dwarves.
I do think it would have to be maybe a Skyrim-specific adaptation, because I think that's what people know.
Yeah.
If you did an adaptation of Oblivion, I'm going to watch that and be like, I don't know any of this shit, right? But like, you when all the stuff you talked about, Skyrim, right? Fusro Dahl, like all the dragons. Again, I'm not going to get deep into it because I'm going to definitely mistake some of these things. But like all the stuff I know of Elder Scrolls is based off of all the shit I know of Skyrim. And I do think that shit would hit, right? Yeah. Give it the winter setting. Give it the thing of like the main character is the Dragonborn, or like maybe you're going after the Dragonborn or something like that. And I think you got something there with it. I think it might be more of a challenge to do something that is a new Elder Scrolls setting or story, whatever it is. But I do think that the buy-in is already there. And there's identity there in terms of what Elder Scrolls is that would bring people in. It is just about like, can you make a good story with it? Like, for me, it's the thing of what we get with The Witcher versus what we get with the Dungeons and Dragons movie, where I think The Witcher is a slam dunk as a Netflix show because there are characters there. There's a specific story there. It is Geralt. It is like the characters that surround him. It's him being the Witcher. It's him doing those things. Like, which that makes so much sense for, oh, we can make a story out of this, right? People know what this is. Dungeons and Dragons, the movie, had to kind of like play around with, oh yeah, we're a movie that happens to be in the Dungeons and Dragons world, which gives them a lot to work with in terms of, hey, we can tell our own story, we can do our own crazy stuff, but we have to make these references that actually make it Dungeons and Dragons. I think Elder Scrolls would have to lean that route in terms of what are the rules that makes this an Elder Scrolls world thing. Nick, what is up? Why are you here?
The Dungeons and Dragons movie was perfect. That was a perfect film.
And there, I mean, listen, you're right. It's a fucking fantastic film.
Exactly what it needed to be. It's stupid. It's dumb. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And Michelle Rodriguez rocks.
There you go. You're already here. Nick, do you want to talk about? I thought you were coming here to talk about Pokemon and your Nuzlocke.
Yeah, I thought you're going to get mad that Bless changed your copy. He doesn't want to say Pika.
I didn't want to say Pika.
Say the Pika. What's wrong with you? Why are you dead inside? Listen, I'll say it with me.
Why is your copy so long? That's what I want to know.
Mike said.
It's like two paragraphs long.
Mike said, you got to sell it. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Well, we'll put some copy on the Kind of Funny Games daily audience. And those guys are always, they're always business, right? You guys are always business-minded here. Who's that? Look at ones and zeros. Todd Howard, Elden Ring, Elder Scrolls, all the scrolls. I get it, guys. We're going to have some fun tomorrow. Noon. I'm playing my first Pokemon Red Fire Red, for the first time. And guess what? Fire. It's a Nuzlocke. Someone said maybe that's a headlock. Maybe it's not a headlock. I don't know what's going on. We got some crazy shenanigans for everyone. Nuggets will be had. At some point, I'm getting more Starbucks. Tune in tomorrow, noon. Go watch the Dungeons & Dragons movie tonight. Michelle Rodriguez for the win.
He was great in that movie. That was a great... Have you seen the Dungeons & Dragons
movie? I haven't yet. I need to. I know I'm going.
It's pretty good. But yeah, like I think Elder Scrolls would have to lean that way. Not even in like the comedy way, because I think the comedy worked for the Dungeons & Dragons movie. I don't think people want that out of an Elder Scrolls thing.
Can you imagine?
I think people would be livid if they went that direction with it. But I think you had to play off of, all right, this is a world. What is the unique story we're telling here? And I think that might even be more of a challenge for Elder Scrolls compared to Witcher having the connective tissue being Geralt and the characters that we know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Henry Cavill. But Henry that's Cavill. The thing. You just need a Henry Cavill. I got to figure it out, everybody.
God, I'll love that. I also think, again, coming off of Fallout, a Fallout show versus an Elder Scrolls show, what Barrett's talking about in terms of like, how unique Fallout is as an IP, I think works so well with it. We want to talk about how expensive or how, I guess, much production needs to go into convincing you of a world.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about that on the Fallout review that I think the biggest hurdle for me watching the show, at least in the first three episodes, was going into Fallout after watching both Dune 2 and Shogun. Dune 2 and Shogun are both pieces of media that bring you into that world, and it is... hey, this is the fucking world, right? Yeah. Like, you are living in Shogun. You are living in Dune 2. Like, we are playing by the rules of this world. Fallout is like, yo, we're being goofy as fuck. Like, it is... I was thinking about this in the first three episodes, right? That, like, these people... like, Fallout is supposed to be this post-apocalypse from people that, like, you know, are living in the style of world that is based off of 1950s America. But... the main characters in Fallout, they look like they've seen Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, they got the feeling of, you've been on Twitter before. Like, the main character of Fallout, I'm like, you know what social media is. Like, you've seen modern things. Do you get what I mean? Like, is
plus,
that crazy?
Every once in a while, you say something that
Like, I love Fallout the TV show.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't give me 1950s sometimes with, like, who these characters are. And that's okay, because once my brain kind of configured to it of, listen, it's fun, it's wacky, it's Fallout. Mm-hmm. I bought into the world, and I enjoyed it for what it is. Elder Scrolls, though, if you're going to make an Elder Scrolls show, I think you have to go the way of Dune or Shogun, where it is, all right, y'all got to... You were getting serious, and y'all got to sell me the fuck on this world. We can't be goofy with the CG, like... We can't be goofy with the sets and like the you have to nail it.
Yeah.
Plus, sometimes you say really unhinged things, but I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one.
I like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you. I kept thinking about this, and I didn't know what it was that bothered me, but yeah, by episode three, I'm like, nah, like you just seem like you've clicked a hashtag before.
I'm blanking on his.
You seem like you've gone on a TikTok binge.
Bruno
before.
Mars looks like he's from the 1950s. You know, like there are certain people where you're like, damn,
Jonathan Majors.
I thought you were saying that Bruno Mars was in. And I was like, oh my god. But yeah, no, you're right. I feel what you're saying. Hold on. What are you bringing up? Jonathan Majors?
Jonathan Majors is a man that time traveled from the 1970s.
Are you just saying what?
Look, have you seen any picture of Jonathan Majors?
Yeah.
Have you seen the hats he'd be wearing?
Okay. Yeah.
Like, look at the way Jonathan Majors dresses and tell me he wasn't teleported here from a different time. He looks like when I take a picture of him, it should come out in black and white.
Victor Timely, you know?
I mean, take myself out that's why he's the perfect cast for that.
Yeah.
Too bad he had to be a shithead.
God damn.
Oh, man. Let me tell you about story number three. But before I tell you about that, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the show ad-free by getting the Kind of Funny membership. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Dragon's Dogma 2. Dragon's Dogma 2 is the highly anticipated action RPG successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, released in 2012. Dragon's Dogma 2 boasts a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using immersive physics, character AI, and the latest in graphics from Capcom's RE engine. This single-player action RPG challenges players to use their creativity and curiosity to shape their own experience. The world of Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves around choice. Both your party of pawns and enemies alike will react dynamically to your actions on the battlefield, whether you cling to the backs of monsters or seek to dispatch them from afar. Whether you like melee combat, shooting bows and spells, scaling enormous monsters, or using your environment to your advantage, Dragon's Dogma 2 has something for you. And the character creator is easy to use with a ton of customizability to get as creative as you want. So go to dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. This episode's brought to you by Robinhood. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer.
And we're back. And Tim, I got some super chats for
super
you.
Super chat me up.
Mellow Fellow gives us a super chat and says, play Pokemon Infinite Fusions. It goes through Gen 1 and 2 gyms, and you're able to fuse any two Pokemon from most generations with custom sprites.
Shit's wild. I don't know if you've seen this.
I guess I've seen fusions.
Some of the fusions are just straight up nightmare material.
So they make it into Persona where you like fucking kill them to make a new one? That's fucked up.
Or Digimon Adventure 2.
Yeah, but then they still have their own personalities, and then they separate from, so like in Persona, that shit's permanent.
That's wild. I don't like that.
I was talking to you before the show about I went to dinner with friends last night. We went to BJ's. It was to celebrate Eid.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, we're having
Pazuki?
Dude, I guess they have like you can order three Pazuki trio.
Oh yeah,
we got two Pazuki trios.
Whoa,
let me tell you, it was four of us. Let me tell you, the salted caramel Pazuki. One of the best things I've ever put in my body.
Hell like, yeah, man.
Fucking great.
So proud.
Fantastic. Also had, like, they call it deep dish. It is not deep dish. It's just Detroit style pizza. But they have a pepperoni pizza there that's pretty good. But I'm mad they call it deep dish.
It's deep dish.
No.
BJ's deep dish?
BJ's deep dish is Detroit style pizza. Deep dish is more like a casserole.
Real
Chicago deep dish pizza is like, you got to eat it with a fork and knife.
Yeah,
you can't
just
pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, BJ's is awesome. Thank you. Yeah, Barrett's brought it up. That's
the
Detroit
right.
style.
Like, when you have like that, I don't know, man. It's deep dish, bro.
Nah.
You start bringing in Chicago, you start bringing in like regional shit, then I'm like, all right.
But like Chicago deep dish is deep dish. Like, that's the core of what deep dish is. Anyway, during that dinner, we were talking about Pokemon, and I think it was Yusuf that was like, oh yeah, like recently I did like, what's your favorite Pokemon as like a like icebreaker question with the group, and like it was a hit, like that's one that you got to bring to it. And then my friend Sara is like, oh, I'll like one up you on that, like who is the Pokemon that most represents you, like what Pokemon do you relate to the most, or like what Pokemon do you identify with the most? And I
what
thought about
kind
that
of Pokemon are you loyal and true?
Why did Pokemon have so many bangers?
Just fucking bangers,
it's
bro.
So
it's
crazy how many
had.
Good though the Johto Journey song.
Oh God.
So you want to be a master
Pokemon?
Do you got the skills to be
number one?
We gotta have like Orange a listening Island, session man. Sometime.
Yeah, we gotta just
do a stream.
We gotta honestly just sit here.
Pokemon and Digimon, though.
Oh, like the Digimon movie soundtrack.
Digimon does have some bangers.
Yeah,
too.
Dude. But we just gotta put on the To Be a Master soundtrack and just hit play and just sit here and just see what it does to us.
Oh my God, you don't want to see who I become.
What Pokemon represents you?
I didn't feel good about this answer, but it is one of my favorite Pokemons. And when I said it, I think one person at the table was like, yeah, I can see that. I said Charmeleon. I fuck with Charmeleon.
Bless, that is the saddest thing you could ever say.
What? I love Charmeleon. Are you kidding me? Charmeleon is the coolest Pokemon ever. He's badass. He's more red than Charmander. He's more sharp.
Like
he has his arms out. Like
yeah,
he's about to fight.
He's like,
you?
Come fight. He's like when he's like Timothée Chalamet when he went into that room of 10,000 people and was like, none of you motherfuckers have fought with me.
Like, choosing Charmeleon as a Pokemon that represents you is like saying that Michael Cera is your favorite actor.
No. No. That's another conversation we had last night, too, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We were talking about, like, if you could go back and fix one movie, what would you fix? And I was like, I'll do you one better. If you can go back and ruin one movie, what would you do? And I said, I'll replace Will Smith with Michael Cera in 7 pounds. And I got laughter. Let me tell you, when I'm on fire, I'm on fire with the jokes.
Yeah.
I was on fire last night.
Yeah.
I drove home feeling good. I was like, I made the homies laugh today.
I love it. I love it, man.
What Pokemon are you?
I don't know. There's definitely none that jumped to mind that like represents the type of smarmy asshole I am. You know what I mean?
Chat, what Pokemon is Tim Geddes?
Yeah, let us know.
I feel like chat might have something. Yeah, and also, what Pokemon do you think I am? I'll do one more super chat, then we can tackle the rest later. CJ Splitson says, will Fallout 5 be Todd Howard's last game? I'll do you one better. Will Todd Howard make it to Fallout 5?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, I should stop asking how old people are, but how old is Todd Howard? Like, how many years does Todd Howard have left in this industry?
As you start working,
because he's made a lot of video games.
Yeah, and then now there's TV shows being made and other properties. I feel like we're going to start seeing a lot of the more luminary names that we know diversify the projects they're working on. We've already seen it with Druckmann. We've seen it with Miyamoto. I feel like Todd Howard is on that list as well. Clearly, all of those men love making video games, so I don't think they're going to ever fully go away from it. But in terms of like, yo, he is
like the director, you know, especially like, you know, he's working on Indiana Jones right now. That seems like a dream project for him. Like, I feel like if I'm in Todd Howard's shoes, I am focused on, all right, what are my dreams now? Mm-hmm. You know, I've carried a company on my back, right? I put out Elder Scrolls. I put out Fallouts. Like, I made these big franchises. Like, people associate with these things. Now I have the leeway to work on a TV show and executive roots. I have the leeway to make an Indiana Jones thing, and I'm the biggest Indiana Jones fan there is. If I'm Todd Howard at this point, I'm just going on side quests.
Yeah, dude.
You know, like, I think by the time we get to Fallout 5, for him, it might be a thing of, all right, let's let somebody else take the reins. I'm going to be either a consulting role or, like, just an additional producer on the project. I'm not going to be the guy.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I think the question is this next Elder Scrolls the last one for Todd Howard? Or, like, what does he see as his goal, either post-game making or, I guess, like, post-directing everything? Yeah, you know, does he just start to take a smaller role in things or consulting or whatever it is? Tim, let's move on to story number three. Also, I saw somebody said that you're far-fetched. How do you feel
you
about
that?
You
know what? Kind of like that.
Far-fetched is a cool Pokemon.
Far-fetched's pretty dope. I like oft forgotten, but pretty dope.
How do you feel about Pidgeotto?
Pidgeotto is one of my favorite Pokemon ever.
I can see you being
I've told
Pidgeotto.
You the story a million times, but like, I'm not kidding when I say there was more than one time that I went to Supercuts and I've shown them, when they ask me what I want my hair to look like, I've shown them a picture of Pidgeotto.
That's so fucking funny. Because like, I show my barber a picture of Nas on King's Disease 2.
Awesome.
And I love the fact that like, you show up with Pidgeotto. You're like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
It's insane. Uh-huh. It's an insane thing to do. Story number three. EA shoots down Dead Space 2 remake rumors. This is Kat Bailey at IGN. EA has denied reports that a Dead Space 2 remake was in development before being canceled, with a spokesperson telling IGN, quote, "We don't normally comment on rumors, but there is no validity to this story," end quote. EA's comments follow reports from Jeff Grubb, who claimed that EA Motive was working on concepts for Dead Space 2, but that it was ultimately shelved due to lackluster sales of the previous release. However, IGN understands that EA Motive never considered a Dead Space 2 remake. In an article on Bloomberg, reporter Jason Schreier confirmed EA's statement while adding that EA Motive did spend a few months, quote, "conceiving ideas for a new entry in the series, but that none were greenlit and fizzled before they could get very far, in part because the Dead Space remake reportedly missed internal targets." The team then instead began exploring other ideas, quote, "while the bulk of developers who worked on Dead Space moved on to different projects." In a post on X/Twitter, he added that, quote, "the chief hope was for a new game, not a remake of Dead Space 2, although both ideas were explored. Ultimately," he says, "Dead Space is on ice once again, which IGN can corroborate."
A lot of ice in that game.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Have you been keeping up with all the hubbub around this?
I have, and God, it's one of those things that I have a headache from eye rolling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I hate this type of shit where it's just like, things feel weirdly subtweety, and it's like, hey, we could just not do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm like, cool. Well, we're still in the same place as we were yesterday in terms of we're not getting more Dead Space. What constitutes as in development or in like what constitutes as considered or whatever? Like the semantics be kicking people's asses sometimes.
Yeah.
On the internet, and I get it, right? Like, words mean things, but also it's like, all right, cool. We're in the same place. EA considered doing it. I'm sure even without the reports or without the rumors, we could have assumed that EA thought about Dead Space 2. But we're still in the same place as far as knowing Dead Space 2, not happening. In fact, new Dead Space projects in general seem like they're not happening at the time being, which saddens me because I know there's a Dead Space fan base out there that'd be ravenous for that.
Totally. And here's the thing. I'm so happy with what we got last year. Dead Space Remake was phenomenal. Like, what a video game. And I'm so happy that it exists and that it's as good as it is, because it took a modern classic and like made sure that it's going to remain a modern classic forever, because it took a game that was fantastic but had a couple little problems and it fixed those problems. It's great.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel like there's probably going to be a return to Dead Space at some point in the future, and I've said this a whole bunch of times in the last like 2 years or so, like, I don't know that Dead Space 2 and 3 are the moves. Like, I feel like from this point it is do something new in that world after nailing the remake of one. And it sounds like from what we're getting here, we might not get that project anytime soon, but the team is working on something new, And it's exciting that it could be a new IP. That
a new Battlefield.
There's that. God damn it.
We're getting Iron Man. Hopefully we get Iron Man. I really pray to God. Please give me Iron Man, god damn
and
it.
Make it good, please. God, an Iron Man game could be so good.
Yeah. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Story number four. Immortals of Avium Studio seemingly furloughs the majority of its studio. This is Jeffrey Russo at gamesindustry.biz. Immortals of Avium maker Ascendant Studios has reportedly furloughed most of its staff. As reported by Eurogamer, a former employee took to social media to share details about the matter. The number of those affected is unknown, but it suggested 30 people may have been impacted. News of the furloughs comes 7 months after the studio laid off about 45% of its staff. The decision was reportedly due to low sales of its title, Immortals of Avium. According to Polygon, 40 staffers were affected by the layoffs at the time. Back in April 2023, Ascendant Studios employed more than 100 people. Hate to see it.
Definition of furlough: suspension or discharge of a worker or workers on account of economic conditions or shortage of work, especially when temporary.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Like, why are they saying that? Not just laid off.
Not just laid off. Just
closed, or like, what's going on?
I mean, I think it's the idea of like, actually, I have no idea. I don't know how business works, but maybe it is a hey, we already laid off this amount of people, and maybe we're like, but we might need these people later, so we'll furlough them, so maybe we can get them back. Maybe
sucks,
somebody,
man.
If you're wrong, if you're a CEO, want to let us know why you furlough instead of fire.
It's definitely rough, and this is unfortunate. I hate that we keep talking about these stories, and I also hate, and I keep saying this, but like these studios that are trying to do something new, trying to do something in AAA that's smaller and different, and I want to see that succeed, and I just feel like it's almost getting to the point that like they're getting like cut off at the knees before they can even like start walking to get to that point. And that's a bummer, but shout out to EA for trying with Immortals, right? Like that is such a refreshing thing. And it's funny to say, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it was a generic first person shooter or whatever. And like Marvel bullshit. It's like, well, it wasn't Marvel though. Like it was a new IP, and it was a new IP that looked big and looked like they were really trying.
They tried something.
And like doing something there, right? Like, sucks.
Yeah. Like I'm going to say something very obvious, but ideas are hard, right? Like coming up with something new, coming up with something fresh, especially if you're a new studio coming up with a new IP, that shit is difficult. And when we get to, when we get that first trailer of Immortals of Avium and I watch it, I'm like, this seems, this doesn't stick out to me. This doesn't like grab me. Like, and I think a lot of that comes down to what the main ideas are of it, right? They're doing like the first person, it's a magic first person shooter, where the bullets that come out are from your hands, but it's like spells and stuff. And I don't know if that hits the same way if I'm just playing a traditional first-person shooter with a gun, but you have an idea and you want to try something. And I think you kind of have to try it out to see that it's not a great thing, right? Like people aren't taking to it in that way. But like, you know, in a world where Immortals of Avium ends up succeeding, maybe we have a new idea there where it is, oh yeah, we should try some of these things out in more games, whether it be the way they approach the magic system, maybe the way they approach world building or cutscenes or characters or like actors that are in the games, right? Like I think the fact that they tried and the fact that they tried to do something different and unique, I commend them for a million times. The fact that it didn't do as well as they wanted and it, you know, I think for all intents and purposes was a failure of a project, I think sucks and I hate to see it. And it's just how like the dice rolls sometimes, though.
Yeah, man.
And so
it just gets scary to look at all these other teams that are popping up that are trying to make, or we imagine are going to make, similar level games and the challenges that they face. And I really hope that we start seeing some different outcomes to this, even looking at things like Judas with Ken Levine, which I feel like we're.
But that's the thing is with Judas, I see those ideas, I hear those ideas, and I'm like, those sound like some good ideas, right? Like from the offset, talking about, I know not roguelite isn't everybody's thing, but when you watch the I guess not previews, but the breakdowns from IGN and SkillUp or whoever, I listen to the, like all that shit, and I'm like, this sounds like such a good ass video game. Immortals from the get go, sounded fine. I wasn't part of the reactions when we did the Game Awards reactions when they announced Immortals, but it very much felt, when I looked at the timeline, I didn't see anybody list like Immortals is my top three announcements from this thing. Yeah. You know, whereas Judas seems like it has a good head on its shoulders. Even something like Callisto Protocol, I think, had a lot of the ideas there, but the execution was iffy, right? And so it comes out and it kind of like, you know, did you hear that?
I did hear
people. I thought I was going crazy.
I hit the wrong button in Slack, sorry.
But yeah, like I think it's, I hate giving like traditionally like capitalistic statements, but it's the marketplace of ideas, right? Like the best ideas are going to hopefully rise above and end up being the things that become successful. And hopefully that's going to lead to more good shit.
I think that that also comes with just the expectations and comparisons that are, you're never going to get away from. And you're putting out Callisto Protocol, you're going to have it be compared to Dead Space.
Yeah.
And I think in the case of Callisto specifically, it was especially compared to Dead Space because Dead Space Remake was coming out right around it.
Yep.
With Judas, it's like you're going to compare it to BioShock. And I feel like that is, on one hand, unfair, but on the other hand, it's like entirely fair. Like that's what the expectations are and what people are looking at the project and wanting to experience. And they see the ideas and they're applying the ideas and how good they are to the experience of what they know from the previous work. But it's a different team with different budget, different resources. You look at something like Kojima, and granted, got the resources from PlayStation to make it all happen. But
got a lot of resources.
Death Stranding worked, man. Like, that's...
And you want to talk about ideas. Yeah, like, yeah. Death Stranding was the most out there in terms of its ideas. But yeah, like, it worked. And I like that it worked because I think there are things that a lot of other people can take from Death Stranding, whether it be, hey, let's get out there with our story, or, hey, let's make some games where we deliver mail, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty of things that you can look at Death Stranding and go, oh, that's a lesson that we should learn. I think that's a good thing. But Tim, these are a lot of big stories we just talked about. If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to the Wii News channel, the place that has all the smallest news that you need to know about.
Story number 5. It's time for Wii News. Were you ordering sneakers?
My brother just sent me the in 4 minutes shoes I wanted dropping, and I didn't know that. So yeah, I'm in panic mode, everybody.
Listen, do your damn thing. Story number 5, we got Wii News for you. Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle Chomp Champs is coming to Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, and PC on May 9th. EA is increasing the price for EA Play. The monthly price is going to go from $5 to $6. Annual is going from $30 to $40. Pro Month is going from $15 to $17. And then Pro Annual is going from $100 to $120. Chia is coming to Nintendo Switch on June 27th. Avatar Elements kicks off tomorrow in Fortnite. The Big Con and Town of Salem 2 will be free on Epic Games Store from April 18th through to the 25th. And then I got a link that Barrett dropped. I did not click the link. I'm clicking the link right now. John Cena put up an Instagram image of just the 8-bit Link model from The Legend of Zelda.
Dude, he'd be doing weird-ass shit, man. His Instagram is bizarre.
But, like, why?
None of it makes sense.
Is this, like, is he promoting Ricky Stenicki right now?
He's went on record to just be like, yeah, just when I think things are funny, I just post them. Or if I'm thinking about something, I just post it.
Have you seen his OnlyFans?
No.
On Twitter, I keep seeing links to John Cena just dropping OnlyFans. I don't know if he still is, but it's him in character as Ricky Stenicki being like, oh man, we can see some big old things over in this link over here. And I've not clicked the link.
I tried looking at his OnlyFans.
But you couldn't see him?
I couldn't see it.
Boo.
I just wanted to put into the minds everybody of John Cena's link.
No.
Oh my god.
Can you imagine? You would see me with a picket sign outside of Nintendo being like, justice. Justice for the Zelda movie. Why?
I love John Cena, man.
Also,
listen, I love John Cena too, but as Link, come on, man. Or as Zelda. Now we're talking.
Or Ganondorf. Think about that for a second. Yeah, just to bring it back to Avatar, the event in Fortnite coming on right now. Like, this is not gonna get me back into Fortnite, but seeing this
looks really
like,
cool.
Fuck, man.
This looks fucking awesome.
I just want a really good Avatar game.
Hell yeah. John Cena has Tingle, the chat saying.
Yo.
But like, that's so unserious.
Tingle.
It's so unserious.
Tingle might be the most unserious character to ever live.
Yeah, but like at that point, we're making a parody film. Tingle
but
has
at that
to be,
point, I'm kind of sold.
Like, unironically, make Michael Cera Tingle. Like, let's be real.
This man.
Look at this. Look at these two people next to each other.
How did you find this?
I know.
I don't know. I just looked up John Cena Tingle just to see if anybody had photoshopped it.
Someone's the tweet, I would like to petition for, I bet, saying him to be Tingle. Yeah,
oh, yep.
there we go.
That's
Skip's
really
on to something.
I'm going to retweet this.
Skip.
Real good.
That's it for kindoffunny.com. No, that's it for Wii News. Now it's time for the Super Chat section where you write in with your Super Chats and we talk about them on the show. Optimus Prime says, I don't think Elder Scrolls 6 will take as long. One continuous map, already familiar with Creation 2, etc. The scope is way smaller than Starfield. I'd say 2027. I mean, 2027 would be dope. if we get it by then.
Yeah.
I do. The scope thing is interesting because, sure, you're exploring planets in Starfield versus like a map in Skyrim or like in Elder Scrolls, right? But I think when you're making Elder Scrolls, there's a lot. I don't want to say more because I think that's going to discount how much handcrafting there was in Starfield across all these different planets. Obviously, like there's so much handcrafted content in Starfield, but you're filling in the space with procedural generation and all this stuff, and you know, relying on players to craft and pick up resources and do all these other things that aren't core RPG gameplay. Elder Scrolls, that's an RPG map, right? You are handcrafting that entire thing. You are creating something that has to be connected and has to feel like a that's your traditional open world RPG. And I don't, it's hard to compare it to Starfield because Starfield's doing a way different thing, but I don't know if I would say that it's not as ambitious or not as, like, the scope isn't as big as a Starfield. I'll still put it up there.
Yeah, for sure.
DJ Kento says, Skyrim is a bigger brand name than Elder Scrolls. I disagree with that.
Really? I think that's right.
No, I think that's completely correct.
It's Elder Scrolls, like, the whole name of the thing is Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
Yeah, but no.
But before Elder Scrolls 6 got announced, the whole, like, question was, like, do they just call it Skyrim 2? Because I think Skyrim has more of a name recognition for...
I think Skyrim is is obviously the most popular Elder Scrolls game, but if they make an Elder Scrolls TV show or movie, unless it is a specific, oh, this is a Skyrim thing, which is very likely, you call it Elder Scrolls... whatever. Maybe you just call it Elder Scrolls.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I'm with Barrett that I think Skyrim is like definitely the most popular brand that they have there. And like,
for sure.
And I feel like that's where the conversations would start.
I mean, Barrett brings up like the search things. I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. I would still say, I don't think it's a problem if you're naming something Elder Scrolls and you're leaving Skyrim out of it. It's because we shortened Elder Scrolls 5 to Skyrim. We call it that. If you're going to Google like an Elder Scrolls thing, or if you're going to Google Skyrim thing, you're not going to type out Elder Scrolls 5 : Skyrim. So I don't think the Google thing is a good barometer.
I feel like if they did a show, they'd call it Skyrim Tales from the Elder Scrolls or some bullshit like that. An Elder Scrolls adventure.
Yeah.
Two Elden, two Scrolls.
I think as long as you have Elder Scrolls in the title, you're fine. We got another one from... Oh, we got a lot of them in here. Hold on. We got Granny Numnums, who says, Blessing, did you see Xavier Woods on the latest Actually? I saw the cast, and I desperately need to watch that episode.
Yeah,
it looks
seen
fucking
clips.
Great. Lemon Boy says, unemployment runs out this week. Afraid where money for my mortgage was going to come from. But two job offers today after being laid off for 3 months. Thank God.
I know.
I was about to be like, don't give us $5.
Yeah. No, that'd be bad. Dude, congrats.
I was about to yell at you, but congrats. Amazing. On the two job offers. Ooh, my heart dropped. Ooh. I was like, man, do not be giving us $5 if your employment was running out.
Yeah.
But yeah, congratulations. DJ Kento says, new live-action R-rated TMNT movie based on Last Ronin was announced today. Is that game still happening, too?
I don't think we ever see that game. And if we do see the game, I have zero faith it's going to be good. That's just...
Damn. Zero
I mean,
faith.
Just think about everybody that's related to it right now. That's,
I mean, yeah.
Embrace, dude. Come on, man.
You're not right. You're not wrong about that.
Did you see the other announcement today?
Well, I don't know.
No way. Is this real?
Let's fucking go.
A Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie has been announced.
Yeah, they... I mean, this was teased at the end of the last one.
At the end of the last Transformers? Or really?
Yeah.
Is this where I learned that G.I. Joe and Transformers are in the same universe?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah, both Hasbro. They've been doing their thing.
Didn't know
that. If I'm being honest...
It was the Monopoly movie? No, is that Hasbro? That's not Hasbro. Never mind.
It is.
Is Monopoly Hasbro?
Right.
Is that going to get crossed over there? Because they're making a Monopoly movie with Margot
Robbie.
Probably
not. Probably not. No. Damn.
It's a... Drop the ball.
Yeah.
Were you about to shout out something from chat?
I don't know what I'm doing anymore, bless.
Fair enough. Babatunde at a DG writes in and says, Tim, so Transformer 1 is animated, and a Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover is real, and Last Ronin is getting an R-rated movie. Hopefully it times out with the game. Are we in the right timeline?
Honestly, I'm a little beside myself that all this stuff's happening. Did they drop the trailer for this Transformers 1? Because I've been keeping my eye on it. But we get an animated Transformers movie in theaters later this year. Real excited about this. I'm hoping for a Spider-Verse. Anything less, I'm going to be disappointed.
Okay, well, you're going to be disappointed.
All I've seen is this like title treatment.
Okay.
That's a very funny thing to say.
But let's fucking go, man.
Listen, we got a new Deadpool movie coming out later this year. I'm hoping for The Godfather. Anything less?
Yeah. No, dude, if they can do that for Spider-Man, they can do it for Transformers. Transformers has such great characters and shit. And all they need to do, no humans. No fucking human. And I don't think we're getting a human in this movie.
We're in the world of, we got that latest TMNT movie. We got Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Uh-huh.
Animated movies are on one.
Hey, they are. Transformers needs a good one.
We got one more from Jamie Simmons, who says Spider-Man 2 and God of War had review embargoes a week in advance. Rise of Ronin and Stellar Blade have embargoes at the moment or very close to the NZ release. Why? You lost me in the second half of that ride, and I'm sorry. Rise of the Ronin, Stellar Blade have embargoes at the moment or very close to the NZ release. NZ. New Zealand.
New Zealand.
I don't know what you're asking, but cool.
I would also say that, like, you're comparing two games.
I really don't know what you're asking me.
I think they're trying to make a statement of, like, hey, these two games got the review embargoes were like a week before, but these other two games, their embargoes are closer to like the release.
When was the Rise
of the game?
Of the Ronin review? And also, do we know when the Stellar Blade?
Where they're pulling Stellar Blade out of, but I imagine Rise of the Ronin. But also, really quick, two of those games that you gave previous examples are from first party studios, and the other two games are not. So it's
I think that is the difference there.
Yeah, but they're all PlayStation Studios games. But also, you're right.
It's different.
We have breaking news, everybody.
What's that?
Sonic 3 has been talked about at CinemaCon. They showed footage. We cannot watch the footage, but I can tell you what happened in the footage. Plus, Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles fighting Shadow, who's riding a motorbike.
Let's fucking go.
Dr. Robotnik is fat now.
He's
back? He's back, baby!
What the fuck?
New York City is a location.
Okay.
That's all we got. No shadow casting revealed. God, man.
That's a lot of information.
We're living good lives, everybody.
How is Dr. Robotnik back?
Is it Hayden Christensen?
Later, haters.
I thought Jim Carrey was done.
No, they announced that he was coming back.
Yeah, he was like, I got to get back.
He's like, I unretired.
He knows what he needs to unretire
Sonic is important.
Yeah.
I get that. That's crazy. That's like, damn. That's awesome. That's like Dr. Dre releasing Detox. He's like, I feel like Dr. Dre is going to come out the woodworks. Like when he's challenged, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like when he's like, when I find a worthy like adversary or something, that's something that brings me out the fucking dungeon, then I'll drop it. I feel like that's Jim Carrey when I heard that they're making Sonic 3 with Shadow. He's like, I gotta get in there.
I can't miss this. It's the year Shadow, bless.
It's the year Shadow.
We better celebrate right. Transformers footage was shown. It's a group adventure with Optimus, Megatron, Bumblebee, and Alita. 3D animation, beautiful visuals. Love this. The group gained the ability to finally transform. So at Transformers 1, it is an early prequel. Doesn't sound like any fucking humans.
Wait.
Off to a good start here.
Did they not transform? Wait. The last Transformers, did they not transform?
This is the animated one coming this year.
Gotcha.
Standalone universe.
Okay.
Optimus and Megatron are really good friends. So pre-Civil War. Here you go, Bless.
It's like
this is the mom
class.
I'm dropping on you. It's going to take time getting used to Hemsworth as Optimus.
What the fuck?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Wait, Hemsworth. Which Hemsworth?
Holy shit. You're asking great questions.
Yeah.
I imagine it's
Chris.
Are
we talking about Thor?
But I'm making assumptions here.
All right. Cool.
All right.
That's a lot of news. Time for kindoffunny.com. I'm still thinking about the question that they asked that I couldn't understand. I don't know. But good luck down there in New Zealand, I guess. I don't know.
We see Robotnik recruiting Shadow.
Pretty cool.
It's fucking awesome.
That's pretty cool,
dude.
Can you imagine the unseriousness that is Jim Carrey's Dr. Robotnik recruiting Shadow the Hedgehog?
I can't wait.
This is gonna be the most odd vibes.
Like,
most
wait.
Odd humor.
Live and
it's
learn's
gonna be goofiness
gonna
mixed with like fucking, I don't know, they're gonna get Hayden Christensen as Shadow. It's gonna be just a weird clash of vibes.
Oh, it's gonna be perfect.
And I'm here for it.
That's Sonic.
That is Sonic. You're wrong. Write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Corey Clark says, shortly after SGF last year, Todd Howard says Elder Scrolls 6 might be his last. There you go.
There we go.
A little clue. And then Fraby Productions wrote in with all the things that we're talking about. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tim, this has been another episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Mm-hmm.
Where each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.